Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Girl, I am boiling.
It's so hot.
Another summer, another virtual recording in late at night, so we're not sweating to death.
Oh, actually, let me close my window.
Classic. That happened in the last episode as well.
I think it did.
You were like, I think I got up and closed the window or something. It was jokes. But anyway,
yeah. It's been hot. It's so many mosquitoes. I don't know about you.
But oh, really?
Full of bites. Yeah.
Oh gosh, I haven't wrestled with any yet. I just cut myself shaving the other day and then scratched my cut on the tube and it started bleeding again. And I was like, excellent. That's so good. Happy days.
And we're live.
Do I make you nervous, Corky?
I'm a homosexual.
Lesbian.
I'm a homosexual.
I have loved you the way they said.
You fancy gears?
I'm having a proper full-on gay crisis.
Hello and welcome to Gay Actually. Thanks for being here. It's gonna be a fun old gay time.
Pitch Perfect is a lesbian musical film.
Of course.
Because I want to carry off badass lesbian chic like Kate Blanchett can.
Welcome. Hello everyone, and welcome to Gay Actually, as part of the UK Film Review podcast. I am Amber, and as always, I'm joined by the lovely Joyce.
Hi.
How's it going, girl?
It's going great.
As if we haven't spoken every day for like the past week.
Yeah, we didn't tell each other like 2 days ago.
I know. For your birthday, 25, girl. How are you feeling?
Well... Was it you that said at the picnic? Was it you at the barbecue that said that my brain is finished now?
Oh, it wasn't. It wasn't me. Anyway,
my brain's finished now. So
your brain is finished. Happy days. How do you feel now? You're a fully functioning adult with a working brain.
Oh my god, I don't know.
Good start.
I guess it's not working that well.
No. It's all good things. It's all good things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, we don't really have anything to catch up on because we recorded on Thursday or Friday. Was it Thursday we recorded for the new episode, which came out on Monday on our Gay Actually channel? If you haven't listened to it already, go and have a gander. We talked about the show Faking It. If you've not seen it, do not worry. We watched it so that you don't have to. You're not losing anything. So feel free to come and have a listen. It's all good. But yeah, we recorded that and then it was your birthday and that was a lovely barbecue that you did. Excellent spread. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And now we're chatting again and it's like a billion degrees, but we're recording at 10 p.m. because it's too hot.
It really is. God, during the day, like, who has the energy to do anything at all?
Yeah, honestly, it is too much. I think the only consolation was an air-conditioned office today.
Yeah. Good for you, at least.
Thank you so much. Anyway, happy Pride Month, all. For the spirit of Pride Month, we are going to be talking about the absolutely staple film if you are celebrating Pride in the UK, or anywhere really, and that is Pride, the 2014 film, directed by Matthew Warchus and written by Stephen Beresford. It's also starring Bill Nighy, Imelda Staunton, Dominic West, George MacKay, who was in 1917, and Andrew Scott, Hot Priest. Speaking of Hot Priest. I've just remembered, you said you saw her. And we didn't talk about that.
It was from quite far away, but if you listen to our last episode, I did say I was over it and I was done with it, right? And I am. I still am. I'm totally over it. But at that point, I hadn't seen her in months, like at least 6-7 months. And then I was walking somewhere Sunday morning, which is obviously Sunday church day. Yeah. And I was like walking through the churchyard, like right after the service finished. And she was outside.
Oh my God. Did you say hello or did you just kind of watch from afar?
It was quite far away. Oh, I was like, ooh, okay.
Oh, there she is.
Still alive.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Anyway, we have another hot priest in this film, Andrew Scott. He does not play a priest in this, thankfully. too many swoonings would have occurred. But anyway, shall we just jump right in?
Just we shall.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you may.
So how much do you know about Pride history in the UK? Yes.
Okay.
That's question number one.
Thank you. Good first question. I would say I know a decent amount. I can't claim to know everything. Obviously, it's very important that we learn from generations before. I think Pride was a very good introduction to, as a film, to that kind of history, because obviously it came out in the UK the year same-sex marriage was legalized in the UK, and also like around the time I realized I was gay. And I remember watching the film, I remember like a big hype before it came out, because like we haven't really had a proper mainstream film like this before. Like this was kind of a pioneering one. And it brought a lot of coverage to Gay's The Word, the bookshop in London. Would recommend if no one's been. Excellent selection of books, and they have queer events on all the time. This is a gay shout out. They're lovely in there as well. I think you can always know more, but that was a very good starting point for me. I think not least because it kind of reframed the whole Thatcher government. Not just queer people were being persecuted, but there was also a whole group, like a whole load of mining communities across the UK. Like it was a very prevalent industry, particularly in working class communities across the UK. And they were closing mines and, you know, they were going on strike. And we're very familiar with strikes in the UK now in recent years.
Oh, girl.
So, and like it kind of reframed a lot of things, but also as well, it kind of contextualized what we weren't, our generation wasn't taught at school, is that the world lost a whole generation because of AIDS and HIV. Like thousands of LGBTQ plus people were dying. And the government did nothing about it. So not to get depressing straight off the bat, but this is a film that kind of not just brings awareness to those things that happened 40 plus years ago, but also like celebrates that these communities came out the other side through working together. And that's very nice. But anyway, what did you know anything before?
Amazing. Not much, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not much. I think this film as well introduced me to a lot of things that I didn't know yet. And I think the most important thing about this film is how it draws attention to what Pride is really about, which, mm-hmm. to be honest, I think we're kind of in a year right now where Pride should be more inflammatory and like,
yes,
a bit more like a protest because of the trans issues that have been going on
exactly
recently. That have just like really, there's been such a rise of hate. But unfortunately,
it kind of crept up as well. I feel like, I mean, maybe not for the trans community. That's kind of always been there.
Yeah, but it like really exponentially grew.
Yeah.
In the loudness of the hateful voices, at least did.
Yes. Definitely.
Which is obviously a big, big problem. That is an issue right now. But I'm pretty sure, as we all are, that Pride is not going to really be about that.
No, and like it's really important to remember, isn't it, that Pride began as a protest. It was people like Marsha P. Johnson, for example, that pioneered the Stonewall riots, and then also, yeah, kind of led to more global protests. And, you know, Pride still is a protest in some countries. Think like Uganda, for example, where it's now very illegal and even punishable by death. And, yeah, you know, they have a Pride. And that is literally a protest and also like life threatening. It's very powerful. And it, like, whilst films like Pride show that also like Pride should be a celebration, it's important to remember like our roots as queer people and like the people that came before us, no matter who they are, they were all working together for like a common goal, for common equality across everything, which is why it frustrates me that like some gay people can't support trans rights. And I'm like, baby girl, you were all there in the 70s and 80s fighting for the same thing. What's changed? Nothing. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Trans rights.
Exactly.
Very frustrating. But anyway, have you've seen this film before, right?
Yes, I watched it a couple of years ago. I'm going to say 6 years ago.
Okay.
I didn't know about it until I moved here.
Right.
I don't know if it's like very, I don't know if it's, is it known outside of the UK? Or is it like a very UK film?
I don't know, but it is a very UK film. Like, I think it's one of those films that very much captures, I mean, I wasn't alive in the 80s, so I don't know. But it's what, it captures what I imagine it was like in the 80s. Everyone's like, oh, Thatcher, blah, blah. Everyone's like, you know, you've got a really intense background of poll tax riots and the AIDS crisis and the miners' strikes. It's all kind of coming to a point. It's a very, very polarizing time. And then that, you kind of get the, because the film is set in London and in Wales, in a small mining community in Wales, and you really get the sense of those same feelings but in two different contexts. But anyway, I watch this film like twice a year, every year. I feel like it's one of my go-tos.
That for you.
I think it just kind of, yeah, I watched it at that pivotal time where I was learning more about myself and the community, and same-sex marriage was legalized, and it was kind of like a, here's an origin story, look how far we've come. It was a very positive time.
I mean, I think we're still better than how they were back then,
for sure.
In 1984. Yeah. But we are,
sure.
I mean, what I'm not sure about is if we're actually regressing or if we just live in a world where voices can be louder now. I don't know if there's more haters, but their voices are louder. And hate, generally, is just louder than love. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's a really good point. I think you're right, because I feel like the last few years, like take Twitter, for example, I feel like I cultivated a real queer cinema echo chamber on my Twitter feed. But now that all of that stuff has changed with social media and like Twitter has kind of changed ownership, if you will, I'm finding that it's a lot more unregulated. So I'm getting a lot of anti-trans things on my feed, which I never would have had before. It's really jarring. It's really horrible. Even anti-gay things sometimes. And I try and report, like, what someone I know does is every time they see something on LinkedIn or on Twitter that's homophobic, transphobic, whatever, he'll report it, first of all, but then try and find the manager of the company they work for.
Oh my God.
And message them. And be Savage, like, and I think everyone should do this. I think it's really important. Like, you can say you're an ally and you can say that you support gay rights, trans rights, whatever, but like, act on it. Like, are you an active ally? If not, should you be? And I'm not saying like, shout out all the haters on social media, because I mean, who's got time for that? But like, if there's little things that you can do to help, like, and also, like, a lot of these people have, like, fake, like, troll accounts. So it's really hard to find the company they work for or who they are. Like, I'm not that savvy with it, but...
so embarrassing for them that they have to make a troll account just so they can hate on the internet.
But anyway, shall we delve into the film itself? Should we give a little summary of Pride?
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it?
I'll let you take this one.
Okay, girl. I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it.
Because this is your thing. You watch this film twice a year. Oh, girl, go for it.
I do love this film. I think this was this film was definitely a safe haven for me as a teenager, for sure.
Nice. I think this is a really good safe haven. Well picked. Mine was Titanic, which is a straight film. And I still cry at it. So
I love that for you. I still cry at this film. I think if people have seen It's a Sin and they want something a bit less intense but still just as impactful, then if you've not seen Pride, this is a really good film. I mean, I feel like everyone's seen Pride, but if you haven't, watch it now and come back and listen to this. We'll wait.
Bye.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed. I know, it's so good, right? Wow. That's not the first time we've made this joke on the podcast.
I think it's great. I think we should do this every episode, Emily.
We really should. I love it. With Faking It, you didn't have to watch it. But Pride, you do. Very important. So let's dive right in. So the film itself, it's kind of got two different narratives at first. So we kind of start with Joe Cooper. Well, Joe Cooper is the protagonist, right? I like to say that Joe is the audience, which I love.
Okay.
Because it starts on his 20th birthday. And he is kind of being like, oh, we're like, oh, where's he going? Why does he look so scared? He's got the train into London for the Pride March. And there he runs into a community of sorts. But kind of alongside that is a gay activist, Mark Ashton. Now, Mark was a real person, and you'll find this throughout the film. Most of the characters were real people, are real people. A lot of them are still alive. Yeah, so Mark Ashton was an incredible figure for the queer community in the 80s. He was a very staunch gay activist. He did a lot of campaigning. He was kind of the figurehead of what we're going to go on to talk about in the film. But the film kind of begins with him watching the news about the miners' strike. Now, the miners' strike, for those who don't know, I mean, a lot of our UK listeners will know.
Thatcher decided to close a bunch of mines that 20,000 people lost their jobs basically in one day. So then a lot of other miners started striking in solidarity.
Yes, it was one of the most major industrial action events in the country. And that's saying something now, because we have strikes like every week in the UK now. But the miners' strike kind of set a precedent. It went for a year, March 1984 to March 1985. So this is when the film is set. And over 11,000 people were arrested as a result of these strikes. Six people died. It was a time where the police and the miners really, really butted heads, much like the police and the queer community butted heads. I'm going to use queer as an umbrella term sporadically.
Yeah, that's throughout great. That's this. Great.
But Mark Ashton, at the start of the film, realises that the police have stopped harassing the gay community because their attention is elsewhere in the mining towns where they're all striking. So when Joe goes to Pride for the first time, he bumps into Mark and his friends. And Mike is there as well. Mike is a very important character. And he spontaneously arranges a bucket collection for the miners during the gay pride parade in London, and then this leads him to found Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners, or LGSM, which was a real initiative during this time, because they basically saw commonalities in the struggle. They were fighting to be recognised, fighting for an equality, and fighting against the government and the institution that was persecuting them. So Joe kind of gets, he's 20-year-old closeted student, gets sucked into this huge fight for justice alongside several other gay men, one lesbian, Steph, who I fancied so hard as a teenager.
Really?
Classy. Yes, of course. She's so fun. And then, so they use as their headquarters Gays the Word, which I mentioned earlier, and that was run by an older gay couple, Gethin and Jonathan. And they're really cute. And Jonathan Blake is a real man. He was one of the first people in the UK to be diagnosed with HIV. He is also one of the oldest surviving people with HIV. He's still alive. Yes. Anyway, so chaos ensues from there. What do you think about the whole beginning of the film, Joyce? Because it is just like Joe really gets chucked in the deep end. Because also, yeah, like at that time in the UK, you had to be 21 and over to be openly gay and to also have sex if you were gay. They didn't change the age of consent until 2001.
That is insane.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it mad? Well, Steph says 16 for the breeders, 21 for the gays, which is a line that's always stuck with me. There's so many iconic lines in this script.
Oh, I wrote so many lines down in my notes.
Oh, it's so good. We can get into those, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, it kind of, you get the sense that he has to be really careful with what he's doing. He's supposed to be going to catering college, but then he's skipping out to go to LGSM events and like hang out with his gay friends. He's like really found his people. But it has to be a complete secret. And that was the reality for so many gay people in that time.
Yeah, and imagine then, it's like the 80s, there's no smartphones and social media. But now it would almost be virtually impossible to assume that no one would see you. So yeah, that must be scary. Even then, you know, this papers, this violence, especially back then at Pride. But he's excited, and I feel like he's come to a point, and we don't really get to notice about him, but we feel like he's come to a point that he's kind of accepting of himself, albeit not having any experiences yet, really. And he's trying to like kind of get that experience. So it's the beginning has a lot of energy at the beginning of the film. Like something is brewing, you know?
Yeah, it's so nice, and it's kind of relatable as well when you're first dipping your toe into the world. And it's like very overwhelming, but also very exciting. And it must have, as you say, there was no smartphones. It must have been felt so much more immersive.
I prefer now when it comes to Pride. But...
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, ain't no doubt. It's easier to find community, isn't it? Whereas then, lots of hints, lots of like hushed whispers behind closed doors. And also like the aggression that they experience, like Gaze the Word gets bricked, like the amount of times like things have been chucked through the letterbox or whatever. And so LGSM, led by Mark, kind of decide that they want to support miners, so they start calling up the miners. But obviously no one wants to be supported by people in the gay community. And then also So there's a divide there, but then also people in the gay community are like, oh, like, I grew up in a mining village and I was, like, beaten up every day. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. Like, kind of, I don't want to help the community that scorned me kind of thing, which is understandable.
Very. I think it's very tricky. I don't, like, as in, I don't even know what I how I would feel, how I would do.
Yeah.
Supporting a... I think, I mean, Mark has this whole angle, and I think it's, this is why he's such an interesting person and character, but he has this interesting angle of finding relatability and therefore kind of two, maybe two small enemies against one big enemy.
Yeah.
You know, like there's strength in numbers. So even though you don't necessarily get along or you don't have a good past together, still teaming up can still defeat the big enemy, and they have the same interest, like they have interests in common, you know, they're both minorities being attacked.
So true.
I think that's that, but that's hard to convey when there's a lot of feeling. And I think for a lot of people that we see walk out in that scene that decide they don't want to join LGSM, I think that's understandable, and the film doesn't really antagonize them either, which I think is
good. No, I think it's good that they kind of just let it lie, because also, like, Mark is just kind of like, okay, that's your history, that's fine. There is just kind of a quiet acceptance that that is just the way it is. And that is nice. You've got to support everyone. So the miners don't want to associate with the LGSM. But then I think what happens is... One of the ladies picks up the phone and they finally get a hit. But so then they decide to take the donations directly to the small mining village. Oh, I can't pronounce it. It's near Port Talbot in Wales. It's like Onwen.
I think it's pretty
Onwen.
The way they pronounced it in the film, it was pretty straightforward. What is it? How do you spell it?
O-N-L-L Win.
Oh, Dule Valley is all I remember from the film.
Yeah, it's it's in anyway, it's in Wales. And so they meet. So there's this really funny moment when they go all the way to Wales in their like little van, and then they all meet for the first time, and Di Donovan is the spokesperson for the miners in this little village. Let me try and remember. He meets them for the first time, I think, in London. Yeah. And he said, oh, so LGSM, what does that stand for then? And then it just cuts and you're like...
Oh, it's so funny. This film is so funny, to be honest.
It is so good, but then he's like a little bit taken aback, but then he's like, you know, actually we're really grateful. And then he does a little speech in a gay bar, which is hilarious.
Such a good speech. Oh my
the
god.
The queen is iconic.
Yes.
And then everyone
is more
like...
feminine in this bar than in the bars back home. Love it. Love it.
There's a lot more women in here. Everyone's like,
oh god.
And then that's when the cause kind of takes off, because they get to speak to the community and it's like, oh yeah, no, it's all good. And then, so then, you know, they make a really big donation, and then the women's support group back in the village, led by Hafina Heedon and Maureen Barry, they're debating whether or not to invite LGSM to the village as a thank you. And Hafina and like her kind of allies in the group are all like, yeah, we should invite them, blah blah blah. But then Maureen and her supporters are like, makes me feel sick, like really anti-gay, all of this stuff. And then we meet Shan James, first time volunteer for the WI or the women's group, and she really speaks up in favor of them. And then as a result, because of her like big acceptance, she's asked to join the committee. as a result, Sam James is a real politician for the Labour Party. She was MP for Swansea East from 2005 until 2015. She's always been a fierce ally of the LGBTQ plus community. She was, she's very prevalent. She's like a third voice in this film. She's iconic. We love Sian.
She's great. I love
the definition of an ally. She's so good. Like, she's just there like, well, it makes sense to me. They made the biggest donation. We should invite them. And then Hafina's like, and all the bloody hell are you? Because she just kind of speaks. Oh, it's such an iconic scene.
I love all of them so much. Hafina.
Hafina's played by Amanda Stanton, isn't she? Yeah. Like, she's so good in this film.
So good. I love the ladies in the comedy. Gwen, the old lady that picks up the phone.
Yes.
This old white lady. Oh, has no idea what's going on. It's just vibing.
She's like, Di, your gays have arrived. And then
I love
they're
it.
All there in their denim, like, what's up?
Yeah. She's so fun.
Oh, it's so good. Good. Where do we even begin? This plot, there's so much to it. Where do we even go next?
Yeah, okay. Well, we can talk about, them coming to the village is a big deal. Obviously, mm-hmm. This is, because you're basically immediately faced with this, like, okay, this is not easy. Nothing about this is simple.
Yeah.
The miners, a lot of them are rejecting this idea that they're being helped by gay people.
Yeah, half of them are really hostile, aren't they? They're really, really frosty.
That's it. But very slowly, and we see this in just like a nice montage, we see them starting to open up towards our gays and lesbians.
Well, it's because Jonathan he's got like a theatre background. He's a little bit older, but like he was like a fierce gay in the 70s. When disco was big, but he dances with all the women and they're like,
planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All over him, absolutely loving it. And all the guys are like, can you teach me how to do that then? They all want to learn how to dance because they all want
to petition for you to have this Welsh accent the entire episode.
My Welsh accent isn't that good. I can't remember if it's North or South Wales. I think it's North. I think it's South. No, it is South. I meant to say South. Because Gethin is from North Wales, which becomes important later. They're all like, oh, can you teach me how to dance? And he teaches the guys how to dance and like that's how they get the girls and it's so cute.
Yeah.
Love it. Love that little bit of solidarity. Anyway.
This is a great thing about this. They're like unapologetically themselves. I think someone even mentions at some part we should try being less flamboyant. Mm-hmm. And then Jonathan is like, by flamboyant, do you mean gay? And like, don't be stupid. That's ridiculous. And they are just being themselves. They don't tone it down for anyone.
No. It's and so unapologetic.
This is why they find their way into the community, mm-hmm. because the others start to kind of see them first of all as normal people, but also very much as people with their own unique new things to bring to the community, and this fun and this joy and this like
exactly also
protest and
yes yeah. Speaking of protests as well, because a couple of the miners are being held in police custody. And then they're kind of talking about it, and Jonathan says, well, they can't do that. And he kind of shares his knowledge of harassment laws and abuse of police power, and like how long they can legally hold you before they need to have, like, they need to charge you, or they need to like go to court or whatever. Because obviously he knows all of that, because he's in the queer community where they're used to being just picked up off the street and arrested when they shouldn't be, because it's not illegal. They're used to being treated like crap by the police. So then that helps the mining community. Then, and Sian goes down to the police station and saying, you're illegally detaining these miners, you need to release them. So then they do. And then that kind of helps the relationship between LGSM and the mining community as well, because the miners are actually really grateful that, you know, this group of gays managed to help them get released from prison.
Exactly. And this is where that thing comes in again of sharing that knowledge. Like, this group has been attacked by political power, but also the police for ages. They have experience, they know what it's like, and they come to support the miners. And they see that. They get to see, they're giving us support because they know what we're going through. They've been there.
Exactly.
So kind of find that solidarity in shared experiences. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. I love this film so much.
Tis.
I love it so much. All the while, they're going backwards and forwards on visits to Wales. And Joe is like, oh yeah, they're sending me on a field trip for my like catering college. And then he comes back with these shop-bought pastries, and his mum's like, oh, these are really good. And he's like hiding all of his pictures and his childhood books and record sleeves and stuff. It's so cute. But also I'm like, and then he gets kicked out of catering college, and I'm like, oh my God. Like,
oh, they're so, yeah, it's very intense for Joe. Yeah. The guy's only 20 years old. Oh my God. He's, when he comes back from the weekend with the at the miners in Wales, he says to his mom, I had the best weekend of my life. She's, and his mom is like making pastries. Yeah.
She's like, okay, he's found his calling, but also a bit strange. But it's so nice that you get to see it through like his lens and through his perspective. You get to kind of see this, especially like our generation, and I mean people that weren't kind of experiencing that at the time. You get to see through his new eyes this like incredible partnership. And it feels really fresh and real, and like you just want to give all the characters a big cuddle. And there's so many characters we haven't talked about. Like the lovely female same-sex couple. Everyone is a lesbian at heart.
Every woman is a lesbian at heart.
Every woman is a lesbian at heart.
Including Reggie's mom. Oh my God. This song has always stuck with me after I watched that film.
I like on this recording app that you've called yourself Reggie.
I wanted to call myself Reggie's mom, but then I pressed enter, I don't know. And by accident. And now I can't change it. But anyway, I'm Reggie's mom in spirit. Because I am incredible. A lesbian at heart and everywhere else.
And just in life.
I just try to live by
this
it.
This top
you know
I'm wearing
I mean?
Looks like the lesbian flag and the trans flag together.
I was thinking that when I saw that.
And I'm
earlier.
Like, lesbians supporting trans rights. I think so.
Mm-mm-mm. See, this is the allyship we need now.
Yes, honey.
Yes.
Support your trans
friends. Because we're one community. We're one community.
Yes. Anyway, yes. Let's carry on. Where are we up to? There's so much drama that happens.
Oh, yeah. They just got back from their first trip. Mm-hmm. That's where we got to.
Maureen, the homophobe, contacts the tabloids. And then the National Union of Miners end up voting on whether to accept funding and support from LGSM, and that's really stressful. The village gets sabotaged, and then they vote to refuse. So, like, it's really upsetting. Basically, like, everyone is like separated and upset, and they've all made really good friends. Like, the women go and visit London. Like, these new experiences.
This is so sad because this vote is the day after they host a ball called a ball, a festival, a ball. Go, what period drama is this? They host an event called Pits and Perverts.
Real event actually happened. Iconic.
I love that.
I want a Pits and Perverts t-shirt.
Oh my God. I want a Pits and Perverts festival.
Yeah.
But the idea is that the and we still have this now, but words that are used against you by like media, by haters, whatever people, to reclaim them, you know, and make them your own. So minors, like pits was like the negative connotation to talk about minors.
Yeah.
And then obviously perverts for gays. So they organize a festival called Pits and Perverts.
And Mark even says, when someone calls you a name, you take it and you own it. And I really love that reclamation of language. I think it's like, obviously it's kind of up to individual choice. Like, I know we've been using the word queer. That's a word that some of us have reclaimed and use as an umbrella term to describe LGBTQIA plus people. Not everyone likes the word because of how it was used in the past, much like other words that I wouldn't use. But it's all personal choice, isn't it? And I do like in this film that it's kind of like, we will use language and reclaim it to suit our needs and who we are. And that's nice.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Also, so there's a moment where Mark bumps into a former boyfriend. And it's unspoken, but the implication is that he is dying of AIDS.
Yeah.
And then you kind of think, oh, and you kind of, he kind of derails after that. He kind of skips town, kind of isn't heard from for a while. And we kind of get a lot of moments like this. Gethin, who initially refused to participate in LGSM and go to Wales, he then flips and attempts to campaign alone and then is beaten up and ends up in the hospital. And then Joe is outed as gay because his mum finds all of his pictures from the campaigns and they basically keep him under house arrest, which is horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's almost like, I don't know what's worse, like being kicked out or being like held hostage. And they all like try and like call for him. Like Steph goes round and is like, can you let him know his friend's in the hospital? And his mum just doesn't. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's so horrible. Like, because the implication is that, oh, if he's in the hospital, he must have AIDS. Gross. Like, it's freaking horrible.
Yeah.
And
yeah, everything kind of goes bad for everyone all at once. So the minors, this is the same time that the vote happens and the minors no longer can accept support.
Yeah. And then
Maureen, if I can just say for a second.
Yeah, what?
I hate that bitch. But oh my God.
That's kind of, it kind of all comes to a head in that moment. And then we land in March 1985. The strike is over. Joe happens to see the news. But like his mum says, Joe, did you hear the news? Thank God for that. And you're like, oh, you don't even know. You don't even know. You live in your little suburb Bromley home. Off. She lives in Bromley. Like, shut up. Like, yeah, you don't even know. Yeah. Like, the strikes are just an inconvenience to all of you. Like, it's people's lives.
Honestly.
People's lives and like livelihoods and families. But Joe sneaks off to the village.
It shows you that these people are against gays and against minors. This is why they have a common enemy. Like,
anyone that deviates from the norm.
That's it.
Anyone that doesn't serve them is vile. But then he goes to Shan's, and Shan drives him back to London in the LGSM donated van. And then,
which says gays and lesbians on it.
Yeah. Iconic. And it, like, he turns up at like his niece's, it's like his niece's christening that's being held at the parents' house. But then Shan is the one that tells him that Gethin's been in the hospital because he didn't know, and everyone thought that he'd skipped out, but it was just because he was outed. And But his leaving scene is iconic. When he leaves home, he says it's time. He gets Shan to drive directly up to the home when they've got loads of family and friends around. And he goes right up and his mum is really embarrassed. And it's like, oh, she deserves it. And he gets all of his stuff. And everyone's really mean to him. And he's like, I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm going. And it's very emotional, but it's not upsetting. Because he's decided he's finally taking ownership of a decision for himself.
This is it.
And he leaves and he smiles.
Yeah. When he was in the village, he had a conversation with Mark, who was there as well, disguised and didn't want
anyone to see him. On the DL, wasn't he?
On the DL. But Joe saw him and they talked and Mark told him that he's running instead of leaving. And this is the whole point where he ran away from the house to come to the village. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I've left. I'm done now. But he wasn't. He hasn't. He hasn't left. He ran away.
So then,
this is why he needs to go back
and
actually leave. And he tells his mom, he says, I hope we get to be friends in the future.
Oh, so sad. I hope
it is heart-wrenching.
I mean, Joe's not a real character, but if he was, like, I hope that there was some reconciliation for some people. Because I know in so many cases there wasn't. And, you know, like, these young gay men would die or move away and never speak to their families again. Sometimes their families wouldn't even know what happened to them.
That's so sad.
It's really heartbreaking. It's a Sin is a really poignant example of that, I think.
We could do an episode on It's a Sin on gay, actually.
We should talk about It's a Sin.
Yeah.
But I actually don't know if I can rewatch it because I sobbed. It was so heartbreaking. But it really gives you a sense of all of these young men would just disappear. And you'd be like, oh, I haven't seen this guy in a while. He'd been dead for a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think Pride very subtly touches on that, but doesn't really go into it. Because it's more about solidarity and hopefulness. It's a different tone. But we should talk about It's a Sin at some point. If anyone's interested, let us know. And we'll talk about it on our Gay Actually channel. So, I mean, we're kind of coming towards the end. We've done a very whistle-stop tour of Pride. Do you want to talk about the ending or do you want to talk about more of the characters before we get there?
The ending, do you mean the montage at the end? Oh, no, the Pride March. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry, I just got my memory just kind of went away.
It's okay.
So, we flash forward a year. It's 1985. Mm-hmm. It's London Pride.
Woo! London Pride is on the 1st of July. I might go. Are you going?
Yes, I am going.
Yay!
Woo! Yeah, so it's Pride again. And our group... with Joe included now, because Joe is back. And Mark. Yes. And Mark has also decided to rejoin the group. They're all standing on the field with their banner about the miners. And they get to hear that politics are no longer allowed at Pride. Which, first of all...
Politics is Pride.
This is exactly what I was saying at the start here. It shows that Pride is changing and... often forgetting its roots, right?
Yes. It needs to remember its roots.
But they then decide that they can march in the back with their banners. And then one of the organizers comes up to them and says, you cannot walk in the back. You have too many people. And they're like, huh? Oh. And these coaches of minors from all around the country start driving up the field, unloading their minors with their banners to support the gays,
including all
and
women,
the lesbians, and all the queers at Pride.
And the lovely old lady gets out of the van and goes, where are my lesbians? Where are my lesbians? And it's the most iconic quote of everything ever. And then she gives them a big hug. She gives the lesbian couple, well, I think one of them is bisexual, but she gives them a really big cuddle and it's really cute and they're all really happy and they all march together and it's all solidarity forever.
Ever.
And they've got the miners' flags with the handshakes, which is like solidarity.
The Libra chic, yeah.
Oh,
it's amazing.
So beautiful, yeah. So beautiful.
Yeah. Like, imagine in the 80s, all these miners, like, imagine, picture what you think a miner is like. All these miners coming to march in pride in the 80s. How mad is that?
Incredible. Like,
and the fact that actually happened.
Actually groundbreaking. Mad. And it shows the impact of what these groups did for each other. Like, it's beautiful. Exactly. It's absolutely beautiful. Exactly. Oh, anyway. So we have a few updates at the end. So there are a few real characters. So the closing scenes, this just comes up with writing on the screen, which I think makes it more powerful and impactful. You can kind of see where this Pride March went, like the impact of this Pride March and what it had and what this partnership between the miners and LGSM had. The Labour Party, they weren't in power at the time, but they incorporated rights for gays and lesbians into their party programme due to a massive vote which was lodged by the National Union of Mine Workers. So because of this work that they did, the mine workers really pushed for them to have greater equalities and inclusivities. Then Shan was elected to Parliament, and she served as an MP until 2015. Jonathan Blake is still alive. He's 73 today, which is wonderful. Despite one of the first people in the UK to be diagnosed with HIV, it wasn't a death sentence for him, and it isn't a death sentence now. But Mark Ashton, unfortunately, he died just 2 years later after this film was set, and he was only 26. So
awful.
He was younger than us when he was doing all of this incredibly groundbreaking work, and he was around the same age of us when he died. And like, what a legacy he's left, but also think of how much more he could have done. And there's so many characters we haven't talked about as well, like Mike, Mark's best friend, who's just like ride or die the whole way. Stephanie, who was the token lesbian of the group. Iconic.
The L in LGSM.
I put the L in LGSM. She was a real person, but I think her character is only very loosely based on the real person. I think there's a lot of artistic license, from what I've heard. Jeff, the absolutely camp king, who is such a hit with all of the Welsh kids.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about Cliff, Bill Nighy's character.
Oh, who's
Maureen's brother-in-law, Cliff, because her husband and Cliff's brother died in the mines. And Cliff, there is a beautiful scene. It is probably my favourite scene in the whole film and one of my favourite scenes of all time. So Cliff and Hafina are buttering like bread for sandwiches, and it's like they're sat side by side. It's very rhythmic, like he'll butter it, pass it to her, she'll cut it into triangles, and they're just having a conversation about being gay. And like these young kids and that being gay and all of that stuff. And there's a silence, and Cliff just goes really quietly. He just says, "I'm gay." And Hafina, she slightly pauses, but doesn't stop what she's doing. They don't look at each other. And she just goes, "I know. I've known for a while now. And it's fine." And then they look at each other, and he's never said it out loud before. He's kept it. He's an old man. He's kept it in all that time. And just that look of each other, that look of acceptance and relief in his face, that this event that's happened in his community means that he can actually vocalize it to someone that he trusts. It gets me every time. It's so, so powerful and so nice. And like, that is why language and exposure is so important. Still, even. Like, having those examples and that actual physical representation and that community is life-changing. And it was for Cliff. Him being, like, just being able to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm gay, and that's fine. And it's... there's no consequence, and he's an absolute king, and I love it so much.
Well said. So true. I love that scene.
So beautiful. Are there any other characters that we haven't talked about? I feel like we really did a whistle-stop tour of that film.
We did.
Is there anything else you want to add?
There's this one. I just wrote down so many quotes of in this film.
Please say them. Please say them.
Excellent. There's one bit where they're the miners and I think it's Hafina. But they're driving, the miners and I think it's Hafina, could be Sean. They're driving in the van to go to the mines.
I know what you're
saying. Donated van. Yeah.
I know what you're going to say.
The van that has been donated by LGSM. And there's this car that pulls up next to them and kind of makes a joke about who's the lesbian or whatever. And then Hafina says, we're just off to Swansea for a massive les off.
That's right. We're just off to Swansea for a massive les off.
It's Sean, isn't it? Is it Sean?
No, it is Sean. It is Hafina.
It is Hafina.
It's the way she says, les off.
It's so good. Oh my God, I love it.
Also puts up with so much. He just barely says anything. And because there's one point where Jonathan and Gethin send a card and it's like a big muscly man, like, that's naked. Yeah. And then she's like, she like rings him and it's just like, I wanted to thank you for the Christmas card. My husband especially enjoyed it. And he's just there in the background with his tea, like, oh, God's sake, woman. Like, it's just so good. Like, it's just that like quiet, like, British acceptance, just like, oh, just let them get on with it. Okay. And I rate it so hard, like, live and let live, live and let live.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's this really, really funny bit at the start as well, where Gwen, the old lady, is asking the two girls that are together in a couple, asking them, I've been told this one thing about lesbians and I just really want to know if it's true. I've been told that all lesbians are vegetarians. And they're like, well, actually, we're both vegan.
Some of us are vegans. And she's like, that's too much.
It's so funny. So I've been told that lesbians are vegetarians. Well, in my case, yes, that's correct.
Yes, you are a vegan. You made a lovely vegan pasta salad on Saturday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just think it's so iconic. I love it. There's just so many good lines in this film. It's just really fun. This is why everyone should watch it. And this is the thing. The film knows when to stop with the laughing and the jokes and get serious.
It's the perfect tone. It's just
so well done. Yeah, that's it. Because there's so much laughing and joy, which the queer community is that. Mm-hmm. It is laughing and joy. But there's so many issues. And this is, it is literally called Pride for that reason. Pride is about celebrating and having fun and enjoying and drinking and laughing. But, like, we can't forget why Pride is there. And this film encapsulates all of that.
It also encapsulates such a pivotal moment in UK history for LGBT rights. Like, this is the moment where things slowly but surely started to shift. And granted, it didn't get there for a very long time. In the Thatcher government, she introduced something called Section 28. And I think we talked about Section 28 before in a previous episode. But it basically meant that it was not, being gay or any type of gay issue was not allowed to be discussed in schools or places of education. So that meant that kids could be completely ostracized for who they were, and teachers could lose their jobs, and teachers did lose their jobs for even speaking about sexuality, let alone admitting their own sexuality. And that was only repealed in 2003. So our generation now and the generation 10 years before us are growing up with that legacy of, where do we stand with queer rights, especially in a school setting? Do we teach kids about this? Do we not? I feel like it's better now for kids, but there's still, like, it's important to recognize the joy and the pride and celebrate who we all are, but it's also important to remember.
Yeah. Exactly. Well said.
Thank you. Do you have any final thoughts? Not to end on a serious note.
Yeah, no, I think what I just said before that is basically my final thoughts. I think it's just a really good film. And I get that it's your comfort film that you want to watch twice a year. I totally get it.
Honestly, it's a comfort film and also just a reminder to stay present. Like, it's important to just remember that celebration and remember those issues.
I want to quickly talk about this thing because it is Pride this month, and I just think this is a great time to put it out there. But I met this amazing person called Jude a few weeks ago, and Jude is non-binary and a campaigner, activist, very lovely, amazing person. And they were telling me about a campaign that they've started, a solidarity campaign called Trans People Are Loved, which is basically a hashtag that they've created for allies. So people that don't identify as trans necessarily, but want to show support and show their allyship for trans people. And their motto is the idea that hate is loud, but love can be louder. So they've created this hashtag, and they're appearing in magazines. I think Pink News, Diva.
Wow. I love those both.
Yes. Campaigning really hard to spread this message, basically.
What's the hashtag again?
It's hashtag trans people are loved.
That is lovely.
Yeah. I think this Pride Month, like I said before, I think it's very important that we really think about what's happening right now in the world and how scary it is out there for trans people right now.
It's also a reminder that any rights that we are afforded can just be taken away.
Literally.
We are not safe just because we have rights right now.
Yeah.
Anything can be taken away. We're seeing it in the trans community right now. It's literally happening in this country right now. And that's really important. So thank you for bringing that up, Joyce. On that note, thank you so much for listening to Gay Actually, a series as part of the UK Film Review podcast. If you liked this episode, we have more episodes. We have a Gay Actually channel on Spotify. We are working to get it on Apple Podcasts. Watch this space. For any news and announcements or just sharing queer content vibes, you can follow us on Instagram at gay_actually. And if you would like to collab or suggest any type of episode ideas, you can DM us, or we have an email address. It is gayactuallyuk@gmail.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for all of that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you, lovely Joyce.
Thank you, Amber, as always.
Take care, everyone. Have a lovely, happy Pride Month. Remember your roots. Love everyone. And goodbye.
Yes. Happy Pride. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.